Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Time to check in with Joseph Lindsley in Kyiv today. Joe, we've been talking about this, and I heard Ukraine military strategist talk about this yesterday, how the wars in Ukraine and Israel are more connected than you think. The Wagner Group has trained parts of Hamas. North Korea has been supplying munitions to Russia. Iran, of course, heavily involved in the Israeli war. And then it was pointed out that the war in Israel, it all started, of course, October 7th, Putin's birthday. Coincidence? I don't know. But those countries all seem connected more than you think, don't they?
Bob, indeed. Hello from Kyiv, Ukrainian capital. I just arrived by train. I took the morning train from Kharkiv, from very far in the east. And I mean, on so many levels, they're connected. And I think this is something that Ukrainians knew from the very first moments on Saturday, October 7th, when here in Ukraine, we began to receive reports of what was happening in Israel. There was no doubt that these things, that Hamas and Russia are of the same ilk and that they are collaborating together. You know, those heinous attacks by Hamas on the 7th, of October, it was strange because when you hear the press talk about it, you know, people were saying, oh, we've never seen anything like this. But that's exactly what we saw in the Kyiv suburbs in the first days and weeks in Bucha and Irpin, not far from where I am right now. The way when the Russians, you know, I think before they realized that they would not be able to get away with this, they didn't realize that there would be such scrutiny. And when they first entered Ukraine, you know, there was rape, they were slaughtering citizens in the streets, in their houses. And then that, of course, has continued in places like Mariupol for many months while the Russians were in the process of destroying that city as they occupied it. And as I visited villages in Donbass, villages that are now liberated, you know, I've been into houses where I had the same feeling that I can imagine if you went into a house in the kibbutz in the Negev Desert. After Hamas had been there with the blood on the walls and, you know, death to Ukrainians, just like Hamas wrote death to Jews. And so it's very clear that these things are connected ideologically. And even before that, you know, I mean, Ukrainians knew, I mean, almost every few days, Russia sends Iranian made drones to Ukraine to cause destruction, these suicide drones. And so Ukrainians knew, and this is why there was a frustration with the Netanyahu government, because you know, the leadership of Israel was trying to play a game and trying to still be friends in a way with Russia. There are many Russian citizens in Israel. And so Netanyahu was trying to play this game. But Ukrainians, including the chief rabbi of Ukraine, were telling the Israelis, look, you have to pay attention. Russia and Iran are friends. And even now, that's not so clear. I mean, it is clear, but somehow that gets sort of obscured. And I think as I look at, you know, online, and I, you know, both when I look at the American discourse in the media and on Twitter, and even when I talk with some American volunteers who are here, it's strange. In those sectors, you hear some people who support Ukraine and Hamas at the same time, and that idea is unconscionable to every single Ukrainian with whom I've spoken. You know, as I've said, there's not a single pro-Hamas demonstration here. Just complete solidarity with the Israeli people, frustration with the Israeli government, which, by the way, so are the Israelis. You know, they've had massive protests in Israel for months. And so there has been frustration with the government there. And by the way, as there always is here, and in democracies, you're going to have frustrations. And, you know, I think after we talked about President Zelensky's appearance on Meet the Press, I had just had time to see a little clip of it. But my impression as I spoke to you a couple of days ago was based on talking with Ukrainians. And I think Ukrainians are necessarily going to be more negative about their leadership. That's always in their character. They don't have hero worship for their politicians like we're used to in America. You know, we have big rallies, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. That's not a Ukrainian thing to do. They're very sort of independent in that sense. You know, they never had a monarchic tradition. But then I went back on the train this morning and I listened to President Zelensky's his appearance on Meet the Press. And I, as an outsider to Ukraine, was extremely impressed. And you can see someone who who is, I mean, the way he started off by speaking in Ukrainian, and then, but when he really wanted to make an important point, he pushed to speak in English, and he didn't care that his English was a little bit broken, and it really was, you could tell he was speaking from the heart, and, you know, and trying extremely hard to convey the reality here. And so you see someone there who really does, I mean, you know, it's easy to forget this, but he just like most leaders of European countries in World War II, President Zelensky could have run away. You know, that was, you know, how many monarchs went to Canada in World War II? He could have done that, and he chose not to. And you can see the passion he has for standing for freedom here. And lately, in some sort of right wing circles in America, they're saying that Zelensky has canceled elections. For one, that's not true. Under martial law, according to the Ukrainian constitution, elections are not permitted. So they would have to suspend martial law. And that, of course, makes you very vulnerable to the Russians. And so it's a decision that the parliament would have to make, not the president alone. But the election, as long as there is martial law, there can be no elections here in Ukraine.
Now that you've become such a regular part of our morning broadcast, Joseph, we get a lot of questions, emails and texts directed to you. I think we'll start a new feature, Questions for Joe. And this one's very timely in light of your travels that you just mentioned. What are factors into Joseph's decisions as to which cities he travels to next?
Oh, well, I can't telegraph too much on that, I suppose, but I mean, it's a mixture of, I mean, sometimes we have visitors from the U.S. and they, you know, I think that, oh, I want to bring them to the east, bring them to Kharkiv. Other times we are delivering supplies, delivering a drone drones, for example. I don't always go on those trips, but if I have the chance, and I think it would enhance my storytelling with you all, I certainly seize that opportunity. And, you know, as often as I can, I mean, Lviv is a place of sort of reorganization and restoration. But as often as I can, I prefer to be in a city like Kharkiv, just 30 miles from Russia, because it has this incredibly free spirit because they've been through such hell. And it's inspiring to be there. And it's in a way, it's easier to work for victory. Everyone wants to cooperate on how we can commonly achieve victory together. I had many meetings the past days with leading entrepreneurs of the city and soldiers and others who are working to raise money, working to help children that have psychological problems, and even from Kharkiv, which has suffered so much but held strong, people from there are on a regular basis delivering supplies far away to Kherson in the south, a city that is under daily Russian shelling, and still most places in that city do not have running water since June, since the Russians blew up that dam. It's easy to forget as well, but they've been without water, but you have the whole country sort of coming to support them. And so, yeah, anytime I have a chance to, you know, sometimes I have friends say, hey, we're going on a mission, I say, sure, let's go. And I'm here in Kyiv to do some interviews for our new podcast, Land of the Free. And by the way, you know, today is 47 days, it's day 623 of the full-scale invasion, but it's 447 days without a major Russian attack since Ukrainians have got the Black Sea Fleet on the run September 22nd. So that still continues. Ukraine still, when it comes to the skies throughout Ukraine, there's a good amount of peace because of what the Ukrainians have been able to achieve.
Hope it stays that way. Travel safe, Joseph, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Till tomorrow.